So for those of you who have family roots in South America or other parts of the Americas, Fabiana has a really interesting story as a Peruvian Chinese, and also some resources for you, some groups that actually specialize in researching this area of Chinese genealogy and immigration. So I'm just going to hand this over to Fabiana.
Buenas tardes. Okay, let's try again. Buenas tardes. Okay, very good. So here we go. I titled this presentation Cuentos Chinos, which translates as Chinese Tales. It's got a double entendre. It's actually cheeky. In Spanish, at least in Peru, when somebody tells you a cuento chino, it's a lie. So anyway, I'm just kind of playing with the words a little bit. None of what I'm about to tell you is a lie. Thought I'd introduce you to my family. I'm the little girl in the center. This is my mother, pregnant with my youngest sister, my father, who was a photographer, my oldest sister, Laura, my youngest sister, Vilma, and the Andes Mountains in the back. I feel like Amy and so many of you have already told my story. I've used some of the same tools that you all have found. Nobody taught me how to do this. We just kind of found ourselves doing this. So I went back and asked family for some of the oldest pictures that we have in the family. And we found this recently. These are the oldest pictures I have of my family. These pictures were taken in Peru. Let's see. To the left, my great-grandmother, who's also pregnant with my grandmother. She is sitting with a great aunt and a great uncle. And this picture was taken in Lima in 1898. In my family, we have a little bit of a mystery. We don't know for sure that she's Chinese. She may appear to be Chinese or not be Chinese. We're not really sure. We've seen a couple of pictures of her. But she is mentioned in our genealogy book, and so I'll be checking later. And she is identified with a Chinese last name and a location. So she might very well be Chinese. On the right, you see a picture of my great-grandfather, the man who married this woman, who had this 5 children, actually, and 4 children. This picture was possibly taken in 1903 in Peru, and something is missing. My great-grandmother has passed away. The man in the middle that you saw earlier left this for us, and in it, as I understand it, we have many, many translations, but not very many interpretations. He does say to his daughter, dear fourth daughter, in case anybody asks you, this is who you are, this is where you're from. Well, I also wanted to go back to that picture because I don't know if you can see anywhere in there, but our last name, my father's mother's last name is Yip, and they come from the man who wrote this. His name was Yip Man Tin. We're from Nam Hoi. All right, so Peru. Peru is the third largest country in South America. There are 12 countries in South America. We're just one of them. I would say Peru is probably the country to which the majority of the Chinese immigrants went to in South America. In Latin America, the second largest would be in Cuba. But the immigration that arrived in Cuba, very different circumstances than the one in Peru. in Peru, there seems to be no major interruption of immigration. So pretty continuous. When you think of Peru, this is one of the things that a lot of people think about. Who knows the name of this place? There you go. I'm actually going to be there in 3 weeks. So bringing my family there. The pictures that I showed you earlier, 1898, 1903, those pictures predate the discovery of Machu Picchu. Machu Picchu was discovered in 1911 by Hiram Bingham from Yale University. Just thought I'd show you a few pictures that I took a few years ago in Lima's Chinatown. A lot of people are very curious about Lima's Chinatown. Who's been there? Okay, very good. Cool. So these were taken a few years ago. I think it's pretty much the same. There are some family associations. It's pretty concentrated in some of the oldest parts of Lima. As I've seen it happen in other Chinatowns in the Americas, they're usually located in the oldest parts of the cities, and many of them were red light districts. Here I am with my father and my mother in a family association building where he grew up, although it's not his family association, but he did rent an apartment there. That's the Tung Sen Temple, I think, a gate that was donated by the Chinese community. It's a very, very crowded part of Lima, and not the safest either. As you can tell, there's old Spanish colonial architecture still here. Some of it is just crumbling. So not necessarily a tourist attraction, very much a working class neighborhood. As some of you may know, Peru has some of the oldest Chinese communities in the Americas. This year we celebrate our 170th anniversary from the first Chinese who arrived en masse. It's calculated that about 10% of the Peruvian population has some Chinese blood. And when they first arrived, they arrived to help build the railroads, which are, back then, the highest railroads in the world. Only it just became the second highest railroad in the world after China that built another higher railroad. But up until then, the highest railroads in the Andes in the world, and they also arrived about 170 years ago to work the guano islands, which were bird droppings that were being mined as fertilizer for haciendas, for plantations. And they also arrived to work in different commercial entities. When I first met Humberto Rodriguez Pastor, who is one of the foremost historians of the Chinese in Peru, and I showed him this picture of my great-grandfather in the middle, and I told him when he had lived in Peru and when he had arrived, he said that it was most likely that my great-grandfather had been an ex-coolie. So he had been a former worker, laborer that had been forced to work in Peru. And I can't really say that I can prove that. But I can definitely say that when he arrived in Peru, he definitely experienced what it is that the coolie trade had, the effects of it in Peru, and how it had affected the community. It is said that the trip from China to Peru would take 120 days, and about 30% of the human cargo were deceased en route to Peru. Once they got to Peru, it was no better. And here's a picture of another grandfather. He arrived in Peru in 1910. He's also from Nam Hoi. And so it turns out that my grandmother, who was born in Peru of Chinese parents, and my grandfather, who was from Nam Hoi, they married each other also from the same part of China. So things might have been hard in Peru, but I hear that he was a badass. One of the things that he did is he actually made those butterfly swords. He was a tinsmith, and he taught his daughter how to practice this style of kung fu. This is our last name, his last name, and paperwork in Spanish, certifying that he's signed up with the Chinese Republic's consulate as a Chinese resident in Peru. The family grew. My grandmother on the left, 1920s, can you see the style and the hair and the clothing? My father is the little boy standing in the back. One more child will follow this. There will be five children. So things got a little bit better for them. Those are my Aunt Rebecca, so Tia Rebecca, Tia Maria, Tio Rodolfo, my father Lizardo, my grandmother Rebecca, and my grandfather Lizardo. And I kind of lucked out because I was born into a family of photographers and I have a lot of documentation. And this is just a picture of an outing, more than likely taken with a timer. So my dad would have been the photographer even though he was in the picture. My family also ran a photo studio, a few photo studios and a photo school. It's where a lot of photographers learn their trade. One of the things that Lonnie Ding, who remembers Lonnie Ding? Who's ever worked with her? Lonnie Ding, the documentarian, filmmaker, anybody? So Lonnie Ding was a documentary filmmaker in San Francisco, and she did a film titled Ancestors in the Americas. I encourage you to look for it as well. And Lonnie Ding told me when she was interviewing my dad and I, my mother, that every generation has a historian, has a person in your family that has collected everything. And in this case, it would have been my dad. In your case, it's you. So my dad saved everything. He didn't throw anything out. They were also very good-looking. So good stuff. That's my mother on the far right. My mother is half Chinese, half Peruvian. There they are again. I mentioned that my mother is half Chinese, half Peruvian. This happens a lot in Latin America and throughout the south of the border, for the lack of being able to find Chinese women to marry, the Chinese men intermarried. The woman at the bottom is my grandmother, Maria Salas. She is actually half Spanish, half native. And these are their Chinese Peruvian daughters. My mother, Leonor. My tia Frida, tia Lilia. Tia is the word for aunt. More Chinese Peruvians having fun, eating at the restaurants. These would be my dad's contemporaries, 1958. When I left for Kentucky to, when I left Peru for Kentucky to study, my dad said, you know, you better take this with you. So he wrote this for me so that he said, if anybody had any questions about what my name was in Chinese and where I was from, I would be able to share this with people, and I've kept it all these years. This is long before we found our genealogy book. So he was doing this without even realizing our ancestors had done something similar, except much more extensively. So one of the things that happened once I arrived in Kentucky and then Boston is that people were asking me, how come you kind of look sort of Asian and you don't speak any Asian languages? You don't speak Chinese. Why are you speaking Spanish? All of these questions. And so I started to getting a little bit more, started to get a little more interested. Who remembers Him Mark Lai here? All right, thanks. So it was Him Mark and Laura that kind of adopted me a little bit. And we started talking about the Chinese in Peru. The first time that I ever read an article that mentioned us, that said that we existed, was one of Him Mark's articles. And this is 1989. So I had lived a few decades before I realized that we mattered. And one of the things that I started doing was looking into my family's history. And so there's been many, 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 many half-cooked family trees that we've worked on together. The one on the right is one that my sister actually did with our family in Hoi. The one on the left is one that I did with my family in Peru. And we're still working on cross-referencing all the information that we have. Because as you can imagine, we're dealing with many of us in my family living in the U.S., dealing with information in English, in Chinese, and in Spanish. It's a little tangled. One of the things that I did when I went back to Peru was I asked my dad to give me anything that was in Chinese. By the time we do this, there's nobody in the family who speaks Chinese or who can read it. So, as I said, he had never thrown anything out, so he started throwing things in boxes, and I brought everything to New York City to get it translated. When I was little, I used to ask my dad about our family in China, and his answer used to be, "Ah, we're never going to find them." I mean, these are people that he had never met. He was born in Peru. And his family, his ancestors were long gone. So he used to say, you're never going to find them. So we did. So what happened is that the letters had return addresses. And after asking a number of people, a professor of history at SUNY Purchase said, you know, I have a friend who lives in that same village. Let me find out. And within a year or so, we got a phone call and saying, we're your family. And I was able to find the family that is pictured here. So these are pictures, faces that we had seen, but we had never really known who they were until we went to China with my dad and were able to identify all the people that are here. And one of the interesting things is one of the letters that they sent say, please send us more pictures so that we can read the letters and imagine you as if we had met. When we went back to China in the late 1990s, we asked them if they had kept the pictures, and they said no. And we suspect that during the Cultural Revolution, they would not have been able to keep anything that signaled that they had contacts outside of the country. Or it was a flood, either one. Let's see. A few mysteries to be solved. I mentioned that our last name is, for one of my ancestors, is Yip Man Tin from Nam Hoi. Some of you who follow martial arts may know that Bruce Lee's master was Yip Man from Nam Hoi. So we're trying to figure out if there's a reason why I always feel so safe and ready to fight people. I don't know. What other mysteries do we have? Oh, yeah. So my grandmother on the left, her sister on the right. Her sister married a Chinese man much, much older than her. His last name was Wong. They adopted 3 Peruvian children. And in the 1930s, things were so bad for them in Peru that they went back to China. Now, how was China in the 1930s? You can just imagine how caught between a rock and a hard place they might have felt, that they would choose to go to China instead of staying in Peru. We're yet to find them. I hope we can find them. In one of the genealogy books, actually, he's identified by his last name and his town, his village, so maybe we can find where they went back to. I'm assuming they went back to his village, not hers. So a few things. I started a Facebook group. It's closed right now. But if you do tinyearl.com cuentos chinos, you might be able to find me. I'm going to post a lot of things that I spoke about here and some articles and videos. You can also follow some of my photography on Instagram. In Peru, there are ways to find some records related to the immigration of Chinese. There, this is my grandfather on my mother's side. He entered Peru in 1906, and it says that he's from Chungsan. Some more pictures of Chinatown. Some of these images might seem familiar to you. Peruvian version, some of the stores. Some of you have also been talking about putting your oral histories online. I recently had a chance to try a different app called PicStory. It was an app developed by a historian to use pictures and voice for very short interviews. I want to play for you just a few seconds of one. So the idea is that these are short bursts, like no more than 5 minutes. I won't play the whole thing. This is a picture of my grandmother and my grandfather, the native Peruvian grandmother that I have, and my grandfather, the one who immigrated to Peru in 1906. And let's see if I can find. And you will hear my mother being asked them questions. So anyway, this was taken you take a picture and then you record somebody and it uploads. It's pretty fast.
Hello, we're back. Today is January the 2nd, 2019, and I am Fabiana Chu, and I'm interviewing my mother, Maria Chu. We have found some images of her family and growing up in Arequipa. And so I just wanted to ask her a question about this particular image, which lives in a family album. And so here we are. Mami, ¿quiénes se encuentran en esta foto?
En esta foto se encuentra mi papá y mi mamá.
¿Y cómo se llamaban?
Mi mamá se llamaba María y mi papá Manuel. Fue tomada en el estudio Vargas en Arequipa, para conmemorar el matrimonio civil de mis padres, porque ellos ya anteriormente ya se formó una familia de 3 hijas, mujeres. Ya. Después de esta foto, se celebraron en un chifa en la calle Mercaderes, en Arequipa.
¿Cómo se conocieron tu papá y tu mamá?
Mi papá y mi mamá se conocieron en la Ensenada, que es un distrito que queda muy cerca a Mollendo, ¿ya? De ahí es que se conocieron y después se fueron a vivir a Arequipa.
¿A qué se dedicaba tu papá?
Mi papá era ingeniero agrónomo, ¿ya? Y trabajaba en la compañía Poulon, ¿no? Que es una compañía que se dedica a sembrar.
¿Ya? ¿Qué sembraban?
Sembraban de todo, arroz, hierbas chinas, ya, y muchas cosas más, digamos, algodón, ya.
So I'm going to translate a little bit for you so that it's part of the recording. So my mother says that this is the picture of her mother and her father on their wedding date. And this was taken in Arequipa, Peru, in a well-known celebrated photo studio by the Vargas brothers in downtown Arequipa. They met while my grandfather was working at an hacienda. He was an engineer, and he knew agriculture, and his specialty was growing rice. After this picture was taken, they went off to a chifa, a Chinese restaurant, to celebrate. This is the civil ceremony picture. They, by the time this picture is taken and they marry, they already had three children. One of them was my mother.
It's basically saying that this picture was taken to commemorate their wedding. Not very festive picture, but anyway, that was their wedding picture. So what I do after the interview is I summarize it in Spanish. I'm still playing with the app. Some subjects that I think require further research, anybody who calls me and says we want to do something about the Chinese in Peru, I say please, please, please find out, help us find out how the Chinese Exclusion Act may have affected immigration to Chinese in Peru. Did that increase, decrease? What happened? Were people going through Peru to get to the U.S., vice versa, when they were being rejected from the U.S., were they going to Peru? Or did Peru follow suit and started also rejecting the Chinese? There are all kinds of laws that were enacted in Peru to, in fact, reject the Chinese, but maybe not necessarily because of the Chinese Exclusion Act, but just because they were persona non grata at some point. I do have some records that say that the Chinese were not allowed to enter in Peru after a long fight with the bubonic plague, and it was blamed on the Chinese. So this was 1930. More research about the Chinese Afro-Peruvians. When the Chinese worked in the haciendas, they intermarried. What's interesting about it is that Afro-Peruvians may know that they have Chinese ancestry, but they don't necessarily talk about it or know how to talk about it. And I would love to know more, just with the example of what you all have done here in the U.S., love to find out more about the Chinese who built the railroads in Peru. If you do a wiki search and you type Chinese workers, railroad Peru, nothing comes up. And yet they were the majority of the builders. Nothing. Scandalous. Okay. That's it. Muchísimas gracias. You are all an example. An example. Thank you. Just wanted to say one last thing. I'm part of a group called Tusanaje. It's an online resource. It's all in Spanish, but there are some articles in English as well. And it's meant to gather stories about the Chinese diaspora. Many of the organizers are from Peru, so we're parking a lot of our research here. And what you do, what gets out, really inspires the rest of us who have not been able to do what you've been doing. So please keep